broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Legally Speaking feature, and we're going to be talking about the legal steps for business succession planning, and that's because it's essential for long-term stability and prosperity for any business, especially family-owned businesses where family relationships tend to intertwine with business responsibilities. And to talk to us a little bit more about how we can get ahead of it is Brian Nicol, who is a financial planner. Brian, thank you so much for your time. I mean, this is probably one of the issues that a lot of family-owned businesses are probably grappling with right now, or have had to grapple with, because there wasn't a lot of planning coming into play here. But talk to me about, how do you get it right? Where do you even start?
Yeah, thanks very much. I appreciate it. So where you start is to first make your intentions known to the other shareholders. So in a family business, that would probably be your spouse, maybe your children or cousins or uncles and aunts. And so you let them know what your intention is if you pass away, what you want to happen to your shareholding. The best way you can do that, the most direct and legally binding way you can do that, is through a will. So if you have, for instance, if you have a business with your spouse and you want your spouse to get your shares upon passing, the best thing to do is to have a will that states that. And then to also let everybody else know who holds the will. But before you even do that, it's to have a discussion with each other about what the best plan of action is. Because my best laid plans might not be what the family wants if I pass away. It might be better. It might be more practical if maybe I give my share of the business to someone else in the family, my brother or sister, or my wife or my children, whatever the case may be, to ensure that the business continues. So it really does start with the will. And that speaking about the will with the family should prompt the conversation about succession planning.
What happens in the cases where there is no will, from your experience?
Yeah, so it's well regulated in South Africa. So what I mean by that is the government and its legislation will decide what happens. So there's an act called the Intestate Succession Act in South Africa. So it's a big word. Intestate means dying without a will, dying without a testament. And so what happens then is the law takes into account various circumstances that might happen within various families, within various family profiles. So for example, if I pass away and I have just my spouse could realistically inherit everything without me having a will. But if I die and I have a spouse and children and I don't have a will, that means my children will also be forced to inherit. Now, if I have a business with my spouse, for example, a family business, it might not be practical for my child, who is 1 year old, to inherit part of that business because they can't run the business. They can't contribute. They can't technically really inherit that. So it will go to the guardian, but they can't do much with it. It creates impracticalities. So if you don't have a will in place, it's firstly going to be dictated to by the courts, by the legislation that's in place. And it might be for you and your family and your business the worst case scenario. So to have that will in place means you don't have to go to the high court. You don't have to employ lawyers and spend many months or years trying to get clarity on the future of your business. It can flow pretty smoothly.
So wills are an essential legal tool. Where do trusts fit in this conversation?
Yeah, so trusts are quite handy, but they're not as attractive as they used to be because a lot of the laws around trusts, tax treatment and such have been changed, or those loopholes have been closed. And so let me just demystify trusts for a second. People often use the word trust and they think they're being clever, but really what it is it's kind of an entity and you can put things in this entity. So you can think of it like a PTY or a CC, you know, like a company. So you can put things in the trust or start things in the trust. And the nice thing about that is that it does not, how can I say, it can continue without a natural owner. So if I own something and I die, you must look to my will and we must work out what happens to my stuff. If things are in a trust, no one owns it. The trust owns what's in the trust. And so you can be a beneficiary of a trust, which means you can receive income from it and capital. And you can be a trustee of a trust, but the trust never dies. It one day you might wind it up like you might wind a business up. But that is where a trust comes in. It kind of makes sure that there's succession. And so what you might find with businesses is you might have a Pty Limited, say your family has a business, and farmers do this often. So you'll have a farm or a business, and then the shareholders of the business will be a trust. Or maybe there will be two or three or four trusts. You know, if four brothers, for example, own a business, a manufacturing business, for example, then they each open their own family trust. And then they can all be 25% shareholders of the business through the trust. And so if the one trustee dies or the beneficiary of the trust dies, it carries on. The shareholding carries on. There's no change of shareholding per se because the trust still exists. And so it can be a useful succession planning tool, but it really is on a case-by-case basis.
Mm. From your experience, do you find that now people are starting to consider or take seriously business succession planning and they're coming forward wanting to understand how to get things right? Is that number increasing? What are you seeing on the ground in your daily experience?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think it depends. So in the past, I definitely did see people ignoring it. However, with shows like yours and awareness being created, it's becoming more of a talking point. It's also, I think, in this digital age, it's easier to solve this problem. Previously, people thought you have to go to maybe a lawyer's office, go to your nearest town or city, spend a lot of money on this and get it sorted out. But these days, also acting virtually, it doesn't have to be that much of an inconvenience. You can speak to a lawyer or someone like that, maybe even some accountants. Chartered accountants can provide this service. And so it's there are fewer barriers to entry, in my opinion, to be able to solve this problem. But it is becoming more of a talking point because more and more we are seeing unfortunate circumstances where succession planning has not been taken into account and the shareholders and the family are left holding the pieces, unfortunately.
You tend to find that in some cases, people would think business succession planning is for big businesses, like, somebody who's running a business that, has revenue that's in the millions, etc. Should you be thinking about business succession planning if you're running a small business? Do the same sort of requirements or preparedness still apply?
Yes, definitely, because you might have a small business, but that small business might be the financial engine for your family. So without that business, your family cannot exist. Maybe they can't afford to exist. They can't afford to have the lifestyle they do. And you also might, even if you're a small business, you might employ one or two people. So there are people depending on the success and the continuation of this business. So I think realistically, if I just owned a business and I was single, I had no children, no one, and I had no employees, then maybe the business really is just me anyway. And so if I pass away, the business would stop because the business would probably depend on me, my two hands and my mind. But if you think of it this way, if I employed someone and maybe that person has a family and I have a spouse and that person needs my income as well, you've really got to start taking this topic seriously because it's just bigger than yourself. Your business has done what it's supposed to do. It's starting to become economically viable and beneficial to the economy, and it has an impact on other people. So as soon as the reach of the business, the ecosystem of the business starts exceeding just your personal self, I think it's time to take this topic quite seriously.
Speaking of taking the topic quite seriously, what's the one thing you want listeners to remember?
Try to avoid maybe a potential awkward conversation with family and shareholders now, knowing that you could leave them all in the lurch, or you could leave them with one heck of a hospital pass if you pass away. It will be very unfair to those who you leave behind if you don't sort this out while you are still alive, because no one will know what you actually meant to do, what you wanted to happen if you pass away. And it is quite expensive to unravel this problem in the high courts if you do not have a simple document in place. It really is worth getting in place right now.
Brian, thank you so much for joining us this evening and talking to us about some of the legal steps for business succession planning and talking about the importance of wills and trust and also the legal documents that come with it for succession and giving us some guidance on how to legally prepare for succession planning, especially in a family-owned business situation.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.